ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 8, Chapter 22, Texts 18 and 19, Translation and Commentary, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We'll go to verse 19 first, because verse 18 doesn't have any purport. So please remind me to, if I forget, to also give the translation of verse 18. But now we'll do verse 19. Badham viksha patim sadvi tat patni bhaya vihvala pranjalihi Pranata Upendram Babhashe Avak Mukhi Nripa Badhang Viksha Pating Sadvi Tat Patni Bhaya Vivala Pranjalif Pranato Pindram Babhashe Vang Mukhi Nripa Badhang Viksha Pating Sadvi Tat Patni Bhaya Vihvala Pranjali Pranato Pindram Babhashe Vang Mukhi Nripa. Badhang Viksha Pating Sadvi Tat Patni Bhaya Vivala Pranjali Pranato Pendram Babhashe Vang Mukhi Nripa Badhang Viksha Pating Sadvi Tat Patni Bhaya Vivala Pranjali Pranato Pindra Babhashe Vang Mukhi Nripa Badhang Viksha Padang Sadvi Tat Patni Bhaya Vivala Pranjali Pranato Pindram Babhashe Prang Mukhi Nripa Badhang Viksha Pating Sadvi Tat Patni Bhaya Vivala Pranjali Pranato Pindram Babhashe Vang Mukhi Nripa. Ladies, sadvis, we have the word sadvi here. Badhang Viksha Pating Sadvi Tat patni bhaya vivala. Pranjali pranato pendram. Babhashe vamukhi nripa. Badang vikshapating sadvi. Tat patni bhaya vivala. Pranjalif pranato pindram. Babhashe vang mukhi nripa. Badham. Arrested. Viksha. Seeing. Patim. Her husband. Sadvi. The chaste woman. Tat. Patni. Bali Maharaj's wife. Bhaya, vihvala, being very disturbed by fear. Pranjalihi, with folded hands. Pranata, having offered obeisances. Upendram, unto Vamana Deva. Babhashe, addressed. Avak, mukhi, with face downward. Nripa, O Maharaja Parikshit. I'll read the translation of verse 18 first. Shukadev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, Lord Brahma then began to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands. Text 19. But Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadev, Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. Purport. Although Lord Brahma was speaking, he had to stop for a while, because Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, who was very agitated and afraid, wanted to say something. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputram Atrasvarupam. Rupam tas yagrajam urupuring maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shrigurum tamnatosmi vandeham shri guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The latest twist in the plot. Vindhyavali, the wife of Bali Maharaj, steps into the action. Everything's unexpected. It's all a whirlwind of unexpected events. Everything was going very nicely as far as Bali Maharaj and all the demons were concerned, holding a big sacrifice, public sacrifice, which is as much as a religious event, secondarily but not unimportantly, a major social event, meant to at least secondarily, showcase the power and opulence of the king. And all the demons are all standing there, and all the relatives are standing there. They're standing there, sitting there, whatever. They're all present. And they're all sharing in the greatness of Bali Maharaj. He's performing a sacrifice to stabilize his position as the king of the universe, which he'd taken, in one sense, illegally, because it was meant for Indra, but in another sense, legally, because if a kshatriya can defeat another kshatriya, he's entitled to take his kingdom. So the demons were glowing in pride. We're on top. Everything's going fine. And a big social event with big people present, and they take pleasure in being big people. And in the modern world, it'll be photographed and it'll come in the papers and everything. How big social event. The social elites are present, or elites as they're called in India. Or actually, should be the social elite is present. Anyway. All of a sudden, everything went wrong. But everything went right. But it seemed to be wrong. It was a revolution. Revolution means to put everything right. It's gone wrong. Usually, the revolution in this world makes things worse than it was previously. Man made efforts to rectify situations usually end up in more trouble. This is a God made effort, Vamanadeva. So we can really say in the Bhagavatam, the stories, they all lived happily ever after, only in the Bhagavatam. So what's going on in the middle of all this cataclysmic, seemingly catastrophic events? Bali Maharaj's wife is doing something which she really shouldn't have done. When Prahlad Maharaj, he stopped speaking, highly respected person by everybody, by the demons also, because he was the king of the universe. And we don't have it described in Bhagavatam, but at some point he turned it over to Virochan, and then somehow, Virochan. Well, he lost the kingdom by trickery by Indra, and he lost his head at the same time, and now Bali Maharaj has got it back. So Prahlad is highly respected as the senior ex-emperor, and then he stops speaking, and then Brahma starts speaking, and when Lord Brahma is speaking, you don't interrupt him, right? You know, you're just like Chitta Hari Prabhu is giving the class and the boys don't interrupt him, we hope. They shouldn't do. It is an infringement, a transgression of proper etiquette. No one would think of doing such a thing. But Bali Maharaj's wife is doing so. And generally in a public assembly, women keep a very reserved role. But she's not being reserved at all. Why? Vivvala. She's very agitated, very disturbed. She's forgetting proper etiquette. But no one will tell her to stop because they understand she is bhaya vivvala. She's very afraid. What's going to happen next? She understood, well, If your husband is taken a prisoner by the enemy, they can do anything. They can kill him. And what happens to the women? They can be misused at the very best. A woman who loses her husband is unprotected. She's described here as sadvi. Because she's very agitated with fear that is natural for men to want to protect or to feel disposed to or inclined to a woman who's distressed. And especially because she's known to be sadhvi, a chaste woman. Now, that would be a normal description of any woman, pretty much, in any part of the world, among civilized societies. Nowadays, if we say a woman is chaste, that is considered something pretty good. I was once present on Nrisimha Chaturdashi a few years ago at the Nrisimha Temple in Germany called New Simhachalam, and Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was giving a talk, and in the course of his talk he said, he mentioned his wife, and she said, we've been married for 42 years or whatever it was, a round of applause from all the devotees, because in the Western countries, for someone to, and among devotees, to remain married to one woman throughout their life, it's considered a great achievement. Yeah. These are the devotees who are lecturing to the devotees in India about female Diksha Gurus and all such monstrosities. So they let her speak. We'll find that they let her speak. And she's going to speak very good philosophy, theistic philosophy. But whether it's inspired by pure theism or not is another question. Is it out of love for Vamanadeva that she will speak? We'll find in the next verse. It seems to be out of love for her husband, that she's very afraid. What will happen to him? And what will happen to me? So she may speak very good praise of Vamana, but it may be from the point of view, just like it's a common thing that a woman will try to intercede on behalf of her husband. For instance, if the husband has a very deep debt to the local sheikh or chetia, I guess that would be here, and they lend the money, right? It used to be, now they do it through the banks. They lend money and then they want to take everything, he's not paying, so they want to take everything away and punish the husband because he's not paying the debt. And then the woman comes and she starts crying and says, please don't do it, I have 12 children and what will happen to them? And generally the money lenders, they don't blink. They wouldn't be in a job. They wouldn't be able to make a profit. They're known to be stone-hearted. But it's hoped and expected that Vamanadeva will be nice. He's God, after all. We do hear that God's nice, but he's not going to be. He's going to do worse things to Bali even yet. But as I just mentioned, ultimately they all lived happily ever after. After many adventures and ups and downs, and it's Bali's come up, now he's going down. He's on a big downward spiral all the way down to Sutala Loka. But the great thing is that Upendra, the name is given in this verse, Upendram. Upendra means little Indra, or younger brother of Indra. He's going to leave Indra in the heavenly planets and go to be with Bali Maharaj, because he likes Bali more than Indra. He's doing his duty for the sake of Indra, but he's going to go and become the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. So if anyone asks you, well, what's your conception of God? You can say he's a watchman. at the door. He's a god at the door. Well, that would make Bali Maharaj god, wouldn't it? The watchman, who's a watchman? A watchman for a very big man who lives inside. So the big man, who's important, the big man or the watchman? The big man inside, who he's guarding. So Vamana Dev, after giving so much trouble to Bali, and seeing Bali just accept it like a surrendered animal, Bali. He is the Bali Dana. In the sacrifice, the animal is offered for killing, and he's called Bali, Bali Dana. You can all turn yourself around a bit. You can also. So he's acting exactly like that. He's just prepared. Whatever Vaman does, he's prepared to accept, however horrendous it might seem. And as a result, he purchases Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva voluntarily becomes as if the servant of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj, he personifies the principle of spiritual life. Go down to go up. We have to bow down. Here we have Pranato Pindram. She's bowing. Pranjalif. Pranato Pindram. She's folding her hands and bowing down to Upendra. So that is the system to go up in spiritual life. To bow down to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who then lifts us up from the Maya of material existence. That word was just used, M-I-R-E. It means, Maya means dirt and filth and mud. It's a different word to Maya, the Sanskrit word, which means that which is not, generally understood to mean illusion. So it's a different word. So Vamanadev lifts up Bali Maharaj, and as a chaste wife, Vindhyavali, Sadvi, as Srila Prabhupada has translated here, as chaste woman. Sadvi, in the fullest sense of the term, can be understood as a female devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the word sadhu, in the full sense of the term, means a male devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadvi, that word is often used in modern India to denote a female ascetic, or someone who has at least superficially become a sannyasini. There's some sadvi in North India, some politician, and it seems to be more involved in politics than anything saintly, but she's known as a sadvi. I can't remember. And the Jains, they have the sadvis. They may be any age, and they're unmarried, and they walk around here and there, and are very austere, and they're known as sadvi. But the general meaning of the word sadvi, the general conventional meaning in Vedic culture, is a woman who is chaste to her husband. She can be a sadvi. The husband should be a sadhu. But even if the husband isn't a sadhu, if the wife is chaste, she's known as a sadvi. We have the example of Mandodari, who's counted as a very good wife. Even though Ravana, as a husband, he wasn't bad. He had a lot of wives, and he got most of them by illegal means, but he did look after his wives. So in one sense, he wasn't a bad husband, but he definitely wasn't a sadhu in the full sense of the term. Definitely not in the sense of following dharma, and definitely not in the sense of recognizing and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, he was advised by everyone, not only Vibhishana, but even Kumbhakarna, everyone. His Mandodari, they all advised him, surrender to Ram, but he didn't. So he was the antithesis of a sadhu, although he came dressed as a sadhu, cheating, to kidnap Sita Devi. But nevertheless, his wife is known as Sadvi, because she's chaste in serving her husband and being identifying her own self-interest with that of her husband, which on the material platform was true of even Mandodari, not on the spiritual sense. In the spiritual sense, Vindhyavali is very lucky, very fortunate to have a husband who's a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So her attachment for him reaps her benefit, not just from following her dharma, but also because Bali Maharaj is engaged in Bhagavad dharma, she gets that benefit also. The love of a wife for a husband, the love of a husband for a wife, it's generally on the mundane platform. But if it's centered on Krishna, then it becomes completely spiritual. And therefore, grihe thako bone thako sada hari boler dako. Grihe ba bone te take ha goranga boler dake narotama mage tara shonga. Whether one is married or not married, if one has the inclination and actually does call out the name Hari, Gauranga, then great devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was for most of his life in family life, and Narottam Das, who from the very outset was completely detached from family life, but they're both on the same level of devotional service, and they both say that ultimately it doesn't matter what situation one is in externally if one is a devotee of Krishna. Of course, for most of us, the external situation does make a difference because we're not pure devotees and we require or we can be much helped by a situation that is favorable for a practicing Krishna consciousness. That's why from the ontological point of view, Varnashram has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It's extrinsic. Eho bhajya age kohoa. When Ramananda Rai brought up the topic of how to worship Krishna, he quoted from Shastra, Varnashram acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. That there is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead other than to act within the Varnashram system and simultaneously worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that as external because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to point to prema prayojana, what we really need is love of Krishna. So whatever situation we're in within the Varnashram system, that doesn't matter. So it's external, but in another sense, it is important. It is given by the Supreme Lord himself, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha. He made the Varnashram system to help us to be in a stable situation from which we can practice Krishna consciousness and come to the level of devotional service. And especially for us as followers of Srila Prabhupada, establishing Varnashram Dharma is very important. Practically, we can say, especially for the leaders of this Krishna conscious movement, it must be part of our devotional service, because Srila Prabhupada insisted on it being established as, along with Krishna consciousness, to, for the very reason that Krishna establishes it, to help people live in a sane and relatively stable situation within this material world, so that they can practice Krishna consciousness, and so that the point which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, Jnane prayasamudha pasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam sthane stita shurikatam tanuvang manobhya ye prayasho jitadjito piyapi traisti lokyam. The position that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, to not be puffed up, to give up the endeavor to know everything about Krishna, about God, about anything by one's own effort, to remain in one's own situation within Varnashram, and dedicate oneself, mind, body, and words to hearing about Krishna from realized souls. In this way, one can conquer the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Varnashram is meant to facilitate hearing from realized souls. And sthane stita, we're not really in any sthan as far as Varnashram is concerned, if it's not properly constituted. So we can take directly to Krishna consciousness without Varnashram. But the fact that Srila Prabhupada wanted it instituted to help people to come to Krishna consciousness makes it not optional for the leaders of this movement. But again, from another perspective, it is external, because prema is our prayojana, love of Krishna, Krishna Vishayaka Prema, love that is centered on Krishna. Now here we have Vindavali, who is in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as we will find from what she says, having interrupted Lord Brahma, who's just cleared his four throats, I have something to say. And she's just about to speak, and then Vindhyavali interrupts him. And we'll find this little interjection by her, one verse. And it's in praise of Vamana. It's properly philosophical. She's at least superficially castigating her husband. But really, although the Supreme Lord's present, she's more concerned with her husband than with Vamanadeva, because she sees her fate as completely intertwined with that of her husband. So she's got love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about love, but love that has to be understood properly. The whole Bhagavatam is meant for helping us to understand things properly. That's why Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said, it's a science in the sense, not a science in the, it's very different science to the sense of empiric observation, making hypotheses, making theories, testing with experiments. It's a very different kind of science, but in the base definition of what science should mean, to know things as they are, Srila Prabhupada said, it means to know things as they are. The Bhagavatam is meant for helping us to know things as they are, and things as they are means Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his servants. We're meant to serve him. And then what's the result? Just like you mix acid with an alkali, what's the result? Effervescence and reaction, and a salt and water are produced. So in the same way, if we apply ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness, knowing how to do it properly, just like you have when you're mixing acid and alkali, you have to do it, you have to know what you're doing, otherwise you're going to burn your hand or get blinded if you get concentrated sulfuric acid in your eyes. You don't get cases like that, probably. If you're in Ankleshwar, you might, because it's a place of chemical factories. So you have to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you can end up with a mess. And spiritually speaking, we find there are people who go on the path of love of Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, but they don't follow the process properly. And they become what have been dubbed as Prakrita Sahajiyas, those who take it all very cheaply and who thus remain on the non-spiritual platform, even in the name of spiritual love. So love is our aim, and love is our process. It's not simply following some rituals, but from the very beginning, why will anyone take up Krishna consciousness? There may be different reasons, but the real reason and the best reason is that we're inspired by love. Srila Prabhupada spoke philosophy, which appealed to a very small number in the beginning of when he came. That those but people in the beginning they were attracted to kirtan, they were interested in his kirtan, they were they liked the prasadam. So in various ways Srila Prabhupada he attracted people, but what was it that people from a completely different cultural background surrendered their lives and agreed to accept Srila Prabhupada as a guru? And Srila Prabhupada, he really was a guru. There were other gurus in the West at the time, but they all gave some kind of instruction. Well, some of them, there's some in some ways better than others. Some actually taught Hatha Yoga. Some just taught, one taught how to rub your eyes and get some different colors come in your eyes, and that's supposed to be self-realization. Someone taught some process which he called transcendental meditation. Srila Prabhupada wasn't a guru in the sense of just teaching, but he demanded from his disciples a high level of surrender. No meat eating, no gambling. Well, a lot of his followers before they came were already not meat eaters. They themselves stopped eating meat. Not all of them. But no illicit sex and no intoxication. That was a big demand for the people that Srila Prabhupada was ministering to. But they did it. And not only that, he ordered them. You do this, you do that. So he ordered them, you do that, and they surrendered to him. Why did they do that? Srila Prabhupada said, "You are foreigners." This is quoting from Srila Prabhupada from one of his talks. "You are foreigners, you are Americans. I came from another country. I have no account," which means, in a roundabout way, Srila Prabhupada saying, "I don't have lots of money to pay you. I cannot also order you. You must do it, otherwise I will chastise you." Prabhupada did chastise, but he's making the point that there was no apparent reason why his disciples should do what he said and why they should accept his chastisement. They'd agreed to enter into a relationship with him, a relationship of subservience. Srila Prabhupada, he's now gives the reason. Because there is love, it is a connection of love, I can also become bold enough to chastise you, but you also, in whatever condition, you carry my order due to the basic principle of love. Now, yesterday I discussed how it's famously said within ISKCON that utility is the principle, but here we have Srila Prabhupada saying that love is the principle. Utility is the principle how to get things done, but in this world, but love is the principle of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means not just to be conscious of Krishna, that's a beginning, remembering Krishna, but the natural result is should be that we want to serve him, surrender to him. And that, why? Because Krishna is the reservoir of all love. And we naturally feel inclined to love Krishna. And because Srila Prabhupada was fully Krishna conscious, full of love of Krishna, he was able to inspire others to take to Krishna consciousness, and they loved him. They didn't know Krishna. Gradually they learned about Krishna, at least in not just a theoretical way. That Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Shaitoma, Krishna Dite Paro, Tomara Shokatiyache. Srila Prabhupada gave experience of Krishna in his holy names, in service to him, in the deity form, devotees experienced. Pratima Nahatumi Sakshat Rajendra Nandan. They experience that Krishna, he's not just a statue, this deity. He is the Supreme Lord. So that gift of Krishna consciousness is given by Srila Prabhupada, which means love, at least at some stage. It may not be full, pure love of Krishna, but they're on the way. And in reciprocation, the devotees, they were prepared to do whatever Srila Prabhupada said. Not everyone, always in all circumstances, would do willingly what Srila Prabhupada said. It's not that everyone was, that Srila Prabhupada had such an easy time with his disciples. He had a lot of headstrong disciples at various levels of surrender and advancement, but enough that, okay, you go to Australia, you go to London, you go to Germany, to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, go to China, when it was not possible, practically not possible to go to China at the time. And they did. Why? Because they had faith in Srila Prabhupada, faith that Srila Prabhupada loved them. They were prepared, and Srila Prabhupada had their best interest at heart, and that by following his order, their own best interest would be followed. That's just like Bali, isn't it? That Bali completely accepted what Vamana Dev did to him with the full faith that Vamana loves me, whatever he wants, I'll do, and that'll be in my own best interest. To send young, inexperienced people from America to different parts of the world with no money and tell them to go to places where they didn't speak the language and tell people to stop eating meat and drinking wine and stop illicit sex and chant Hare Krishna. It was mission impossible. But they did it. They did it in the sense that they not only did they go, but they actually fulfilled the mission. Because Srila Prabhupada gave that which is real, which is Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So this love is not like the so-called love of the material world, where someone loves someone and then they don't love them. I used to love you, now I don't. There's no such thing. Then it wasn't love in the first place. Srila Prabhupada, when his disciples, when Srila Prabhupada was personally present, his disciples, they did a, I'm not saying they're not doing now, but it was something extraordinary how the Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. And of course, we give the credit to Srila Prabhupada, but actually, a lot of the work was done by his disciples, on his order, by his empowerment. So we can say that Srila Prabhupada did it, but he did it through his disciples. And they did so being empowered with love. And it wasn't just that they went somewhere and they loved. I'm feeling love for everyone. So they all came and started chanting Hare Krishna. Didn't work like that. They had to work very hard, just like all of you here are working very hard to build this temple. It's hard work. No, even physically it's hard work. So here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada. The materialists are working very hard because they're getting paid for their service. How is it that my disciples are also working hard and not getting paid? And materialistic people would say, see, he cheated them. He's making them work hard and he's not giving them anything. No pay. But they are getting something, much more than they could get for money. And Srila Prabhupada, he explains that. I'll continue what Srila Prabhupada said. Actually, I am paying them. Now you know how devotees work so hard for Prabhupada. You see Prabhupada say, actually, I am paying them. Oh, really? Yeah, but then Prabhupada explained, I am paying them not with money, but with love, love of God. Someone who is receiving the mercy of Guru and Krishna attains love of God and out of affection works much harder than any materialist. In this regard, we may remember the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prem Dhan Bina Beta Daridra Jibon Das Kari More Deho Premadhan. Das Kari Betan More Deho Premadhan. Yeah, exactly that word, Betan, payment. That he's saying that my life, my miserable life is meaningless without money, wealth, riches. But what's he talking about? Premadhan, the riches of love of Krishna. So he says, make me your servant and give me payment. What's the deal? How much do you do? I want the payment of love of Krishna. So this Srila Prabhupada was giving. He says directly here, I am paying them with love of God. Srila Prabhupada gave love of God. This is the principle. The principle of love. Srila Prabhupada writes about this. He expounded this. What's the difference? The materialist is working, but that's not love. It's lust. Srila Prabhupada writes about this. Is from Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to a normal condition. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So we experience that we have material desires and it's very difficult to come to the platform of love of Krishna, but we have the faith in Srila Prabhupada, seeing him, that even we are late beginners. Late means how many lifetimes late? Millions of life. But we can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. But when we're performing these regulative principles of devotional service, we should always remember that it's not just a matter of following the formulas. We have to get up in the morning. Very good. Get up in the morning. Have to chant minimum 600. Yes, very good. Do it. But always remember that we're supposed to be doing this out of love. We want to do it love for Krishna. It's not a matter that, okay, I did it. But everything done with love, the principle of love. Otherwise, the Krishna Conscious Movement can't be sustained. By rules and regulations, yes, they are required for an institution. Rules and regulations are required in devotional service. But unless there's actual feeling and exchange of love between devotees, priti lakshanam, dadati pratigrahnati, guham akhyati prichati, bhunte bhojayate chaiva. Shadvidha priti lakshanam. Devotees, because they're cultivating love of Krishna, they give things to each other, they share their minds, they accept from each other, prasadam, they give, they accept. It's an exchange of love, and it's centered on love of Krishna. And otherwise, nothing can be sustained. Even materially, the karmis are working hard on the principle of love, even perverted. Srila Prabhupada, when he did a job for a short time, and then after he came out of college, and then he did his own business. But he said that he was asked when he went for the job, are you a married man? He said yes, and then they accepted him. Because they know if he's married, he'll be responsible. We can chastise him because he knows he has to get the money. Whereas an unmarried man, he'll think, I'm not staying here, he'll just leave. So you know, a married man is responsible because he has a sense of responsibility to his family. That sense of responsibility is what is conceived of by the materialists as love. Of course, in the modern age, love is just some fuzzy, conceived of as some fuzzy feeling and sex. But otherwise, there's responsibility in family life. Why does one work so hard? One feels commitment. The wife serves the husband. This husband serves the wife. There are children, and they take together, they share the responsibility for the children. They both, they share this sense of love for the children. It's so they become more bonded in this way. And in this way, there is love on the material platform. And of course, if you raise children in Krishna consciousness with the aim of raising them to be devotees, then that becomes dovetail, that becomes on the spiritual platform. So we should always keep this as the motto of our lives, that the whole Bhagavatam is pointing to this. Surrender of Bali Maharaj. It wasn't just because he thought, well, I should do so for my best interest, but actually had love for Krishna, as Prahlad Maharaj had. Prahlad gave to Bali Maharaj love of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj is described as Krishna Grahagrasta. He's seized by the planet, just like the planetary influence. Krishna. Krishna's taken over his life. He's become completely absorbed in Krishna. So Bali Maharaj is experiencing that also. And he's very happy to surrender to Vamanadev and his wife, who surrendered to her husband, is very fortunate to have such a good husband, very fortunate to have the direct darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everything the Supreme Personality of Godhead does, and Bali Maharaj has understood this, is simply to awaken, particularly in his devotees, the natural feeling of love, which is what he is all about. Prem don bina betta doridra jivan dash kori beton mori deho prema don. This is our prayer. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim. This Bengali verse is given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as an explanation of the na dhanam na janam na sundarim verse, that without love of Krishna, this treasure, our lives are simply miserable and useless. So this is the prayer. Give us love, pure love of Krishna. This is what we pray to for Krishna. We want everything we do for a purpose. So why do we practice Krishna consciousness? We simply want to become more and more and more and more surrendered to Krishna and develop the love for Krishna. It's very high, but it's attainable. That is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarupyas chakripa sindhubi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churakang padayo nipatya kritva chakka kushatameta dahambravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Goranga chandra charne kurutanu.